Oh, what a night we have for you. Linda Moulton Howe back with us. She's got some incredible stories. Hey, let's get right into it in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. You might remember weeks ago the story, of course, that happened with an L.A. person who was found dead with all kinds of guns, all kinds of cash, all kinds of ammunition, and his fiancée claiming that he was an alien hybrid. It's a strange story. And Linda, of course, it caught her eye. Welcome back, Linda. What a bizarre story.
It really is. And since mid-July, the news of this alleged human ET hybrid secret government agent working for the CIA has gone around the world. And the story is that he died in an SUV near his fiance's condo in Los Angeles County, specifically Pacific Palisades. And the story is unfolding even tonight with new news in L.A. One person with firsthand knowledge about this alleged hybrid is 60-year-old Laura Vadbunker. Laura and her husband, David Roger, live in Oxnard, California. They have a son who in the past 7 years had a close girlfriend named Dawn Marie Hannon. Dawn is now 39 years old, has two teenage girls of her own, and she is especially close to her 20-year-old daughter, Melody Hannon, and is estranged from her 18-year-old. Now, during Dawn's relationship with the Vadbunker's son, she began to call the Vadbunker's mom and dad. Laura Vadbunker said Dawn became so close to them that on March 27th, 2015, this year, Laura and David officially adopted the 39-year-old Dawn Marie. And George, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Linda. We'll probably switch your phone a little bit later on, but go ahead. I'm hearing distortion and pops, but
well,
go ahead.
That's what made me ask, because it almost sounded like the phone disconnected.
Yeah, we're hearing pops, too. It sure is. They're out to get you.
Somebody doesn't want this reported, but I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
Dawn has had another unusual relationship working for the owner of many different properties in L.A. County. Dawn's boss has been, and still might now be, 54-year-old Catherine Suzanne Neprin, also known as Catherine Weiss, once married to dentist Philip Gorin, who just tonight in L.A. News was reported as the medical person who had been unnamed, who was in the SUV with Catherine and with Dawn Marie when the alleged hybrid died.
Jeez.
Now, beginning around 2008, Dawn was hired to process real estate paperwork for Catherine Neprin, and all of their work was done by computers and phones, and Dawn never physically met Catherine. Then, for the first time in recent months, Dawn met not only Catherine Neprin, but also met her fiancé of 10 years, then using the name Bob Smith. We know his real name was Jeffrey Allen Lash. Lash was born December 3, 1954, graduated from Los Angeles's Westchester High School in 1972, enrolled in UCLA, but dropped out in the mid-1980s. That's when he might have begun his secret agent work, if that is true, for the U.S. government under one or more false names and fake records. In fact, one anonymous source has told me that he met the same person with the name Jared Lass in a special ops unit in the mid-1990s who worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency. Jeffrey's father, Joseph Lash, was a microbiologist who owned his own lab and allegedly collaborated with a Dr. Elmer Belt, who pioneered sex change surgery techniques. Upon the father's death, September 11, 2010, Jeffrey Lash, the son, might have inherited his father's microbiology patents. But his fiancée, Catherine Neprin, told Dawn Marie that Jeffrey worked as a secret agent for the CIA and was a human ET hybrid on a mission to save the world from a deteriorating future. Now, only 5 years after his father's death, Jeffrey Lash did die on July 4th, 2015, sitting in an SUV in front of his fiancée's Pacific Palisades condo. And with him, when he died with Catherine, was her assistant, Dawn Marie Vadbunker. And now we know that the medical person who had been unnamed was her former husband, Dennis Philip Gorin, DDS. Allegedly, Lash collapsed in a supermarket parking lot and was having trouble breathing, but refused to be taken to a hospital. Instead, they drove back to Catherine's condo that she shared with Lash the past 10 years, and they still parked at the curb in the SUV while the medical person that we now know is the dentist allegedly worked for quite a long time trying to keep Jeffrey Lash alive. What no one else knew was that Catherine Nebron and Dawn Marie Vadbunker and the dentist packed dry ice around Lash's body, wrapped him in a blanket, and left him in the SUV because Catherine and the CIA would know from an electronic implant that Lash had died and would soon come for his body. That's why she packed dry ice around him. Then Catherine and Dawn Marie got in another car and took off for Oregon, apparently to be far away when the CIA showed up to take Jeffrey Allen Lash's body. All of that was July 4th. 6 days later, on Friday, July 10th, Dawn Marie's mother, Laura Vadbunker in Oxnard, called her local police department to file a missing persons report because Dawn had not called home since July 3rd. We now know that Dawn Marie, the daughter, took off with Catherine Nebron, the property owner, and the fiance, and they were finally found by Oregon police in mid-July, and that led to a search warrant of Catherine Nebron's Palisade Drive condo, where the headlines, mysterious L.A. owner, had over $5 million in guns, 6.5 tons of ammunition, and $230,000 in cash stuffed all over this condo and other properties. Yesterday, August 26th, the Palisadian Post reported that Catherine Nebron's attorney, Harlan Brown, he represented the actor Blake when he was charges for murdering his wife. Harlan Brown now says that, quote, Catherine was held captive in her own condo by Jeffrey Lash while he had long-term relationships with 3 or 4 other rich women. And in addition to the huge cache of weapons and ammunition, Lash allegedly hoarded expensive cameras, lenses, high-powered binoculars, Palm Pilots, camouflage gear, Gore-Tex jackets, thousands of books, and about 60,000 CDs and 25,000 DVDs. That's according to the Los Angeles police. And by tonight, August 27th to 28th, Laura Vadbunker has not seen or heard from Dawn Marie, her adopted daughter, since July 3rd, 2015. Now, what we're going to hear first is going to be from Laura Yvonne Vadbunker talking about what she personally knows about her adopted daughter, Dawn Marie's work for Catherine Nebron, and the 10-year fiance who is supposed to be or was an alleged human-alien hybrid government agent that was born Jeffrey Allen Lash in Los Angeles. Here now is Laura Yvonne Vadbunker from Oxnard, California.
When did your adopted daughter, Dawn Marie, begin working for Catherine Nebron?
I would guess between 5 and 7 years ago.
When you first met Dawn Marie, how did she describe her work?
Well, initially her work was that Catherine Nebron was a client, which means Catherine hired Dawn Marie as a property manager for a lot of properties that she owns on Main Street in Ventura.
Catherine Nebron met Jeffrey Lash or Jared Lash 30 years ago.
She was 16.
And began living with him 17 years ago.
That's my understanding.
And then became his fiancée 10 years ago.
That's my understanding. The whole time that Dawn Marie worked for Catherine, she had never met her. She worked for her unseen, always on the phone, never got to meet her in person because Bob was very high up in the government.
And that's what Catherine Nebron told Dawn.
Yes, ma'am. I'm telling you what I know. So this went on for a few years. Then she finally met her, I would say less than 3 years ago, because she told me that she finally got to meet her.
Why did that happen and what were the circumstances?
Property management. They would meet once a week in Santa Monica at different locations. Most of them were Starbucks. They would meet and go over paperwork and contracts that would have to be renewed to a lot of properties in Ventura. So that's how that started. And through this time, I guess she started talking about Bob.
Your daughter, Dawn, how did she talk to you first about Bob Smith?
That's quite interesting. This had to have only been maybe 3.5 to 4 months ago. No matter how often I tried to talk to Dawn about this, it was always, it's real. He is alien. He's over 500 years old. Catherine Nebron came from a water planet, and she's part alien, too, and we're being watched all the time.
When you were there in the presence of Bob, Dawn, and Catherine, were they talking straightforwardly with you about Bob being an ET human hybrid?
Yes, they did. They said that something huge will happen in 8 years. They were talking about a whole government change.
And the 8 years started from what date, do you think?
This year. So it would be in 8 years it would happen.
8 years plus 15, so that would be 2023. Did Dawn or Catherine or Bob / Jeffrey Lash talk to you about what they expected to happen by 2023?
It was a total government change from the president to the people in Washington.
In what way did they describe the change to be?
A world change for the better, saving the world. It would be different.
In various newspapers, from the LA Times to the Daily Mail in the UK, there has been a distribution of a photograph that they're identifying as Jeffrey Lash that they say is a 1996 driver's license, and he's dark-haired, dark brows, perhaps blue eyes.
Correct. A beautiful sky blue, very inviting, and something that you would remember. His hair was thin, but he had hair, and it was brown. I would imagine at one time he looked good.
But when you met him, he literally could not move.
He cannot move. He has to be lifted by two people to be put in a car, to be moved from that car.
And how would you square that with the statements by Dawn and Catherine that he has been working in a very high position as a human ET hybrid in a government agency if he has not been able to move?
What he did for his work, he used his right hand. I took that as a computer inputter that worked for the government. And when I first met him, it was contorted, like if you had arthritis and you couldn't move it well.
So he had a form of neuropathy, perhaps?
Oh, yes, he did.
So neuropathy would be a nerve disease that would be degenerative. And his right hand was important in terms of functioning maybe with a computer or something.
Or something. Spacecraft, that's another thing, that he would go far, far away. Well, what does that mean? How did he go far, far away?
Did he ever talk, or did Catherine Nebron or your daughter ever talk about different non-human types interacting with Earth?
Yes, they talked about that a lot.
Physically, what types? Are there good guys and bad guys? Who's on a side trying to help? Who's trying to destroy us? Details like that.
The type he was working with and the type that he was to save. And then there were bad, and they never really explained that bad or what they would consider dark or bad.
So you don't have any physical details about the bad guys?
I do not.
Any physical details about the good guys?
Well, he was reptilian.
Did he say that?
Catherine and Don said that in front of him.
And what was his reaction?
He smiled.
So they said that he was reptilian, and the type that he is with is reptilian, the ones that in 8 years are going to save the United States and the government and the world.
Correct.
Did they say anything more about the reptilians in terms of where they're from, why they are? And
they were from a planet. They gave me the name of the planet. They also gave me the planet that Catherine had been on before and now is in this lifetime.
Do you remember the name?
I do not. I was told that Bob was over 500 years old. Dawn Marie said she has seen him for what he was. She said his eyes are really yellow. I really got to see him for what he looks like. And she believed every word she was telling me.
And did she say that his yellow eyes had vertical pupils?
Yes.
Any other details?
He had a spiny back, a bump back, like a reptile.
Right. And did she see him with scales?
She just said that she saw him how he was.
But she saw, instead of blue eyes, she saw yellow eyes with vertical pupils.
Yes.
Scaly back.
Yes.
We would assume probably scaly skin. Did she then go further and explain how do the reptiles disguise themselves as human bodies?
No, I wish I would have asked that now. Whether I believed all this story or not, that's a different story.
Let's go then to July 3rd, 2015. Describe the last words that you heard from your daughter.
She texts me and she says, I am going to go to work. Okay, so I knew that she was heading from Ventura and that she was heading to Santa Monica. So this part I knew. And I knew she got to Santa Monica because that evening she said, I'm going to spend the night.
This is in text that you still have in your iPhone.
I'm sure that if they downloaded it, it's in my iPhone.
So the last communication from your daughter.
July 3rd.
At night.
At night. And then July 4th. She was supposed to be here to help with the party, and I got a text. I'm staying a couple more days.
This is your July 4th holiday party with friends.
She was supposed to be there, yes, ma'am. That's the last I heard. Monday, no Dawn. Tuesday, no Dawn. All week long, repeated phone calls, no response. To where Friday, we've decided it's time to call the police. It's time to file a missing persons under suspicious circumstances.
And Linda, of course, is going to come back with a second part of this incredible story. Linda, I mean, you've interviewed thousands of people in your career. Do you believe these people?
The story has been moving like a Rube Goldberg machine since it first cracked open in the public mid-July. And by that, I mean there are so many different players, so many different weird things keep evolving, and that we right now, who knows, except that I do believe that Laura Vadbunker and her daughter were convinced by Catherine Nebron that Jeffrey Lash was a human ET hybrid working for the government. And what is so peculiar in all this, even though that sounds outlandish, is that I got a communication about
story.
A DIA special ops unit with a Jared Lash.
Okay, more coming up with you, Linda, in just a moment on this absolutely incredible story. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie along with Linda Moulton Howe, continuing with this. Truly, Linda, I guess we could say this is one of the most bizarre stories you've covered and we've had on this program.
Absolutely. I think that would be fair for any reporter on the planet right now. And I checked in again with Bad Bunkers just a couple of days ago and talked with Laura, the Mrs. Bad Bunker, the mother of Don Marie. And I wanted to find out after all this time, because you remember, keep the timeline, this man dies in the SUV on July 4th. Catherine Nebron and Don Marie take off and leave him there in the dry ice because they think, or at least they've been convinced, or at least this is what Laura understands, that the CIA was going to know that he had died, this ET human hybrid secret agent, and they would come and take his body.
Yeah.
And that is why Catherine Nebron, I think, decided she didn't want to be anywhere around the condo or near that SUV, and they took off. Then Laura Vadbunker and her husband, they become very concerned a week later, and they file the missing persons report in Los Angeles. It's an all-points bulletin. That's where the Oregon police picked it up, and they found Catherine Nebron and Laura Vadbunker in this mountain motel in Oregon near Bend. Well, the next thing is that Catherine comes back to Los Angeles, but Don Marie does not. And Don Marie, as of tonight, has still not called or showed up at the Bad Bunkers or to let them know anything outside of a letter that I'm going to share tonight.
Jeez,
now,
strange.
Now, in all of this, with Catherine Nebron returning to Los Angeles, she was probably worried, oh, my heavens, this man is dead in this SUV in front of my condo. And so she hires an attorney, Harlan Braun, who was famous for representing Robert Blake in his murder trial. And then all of that is what led to the leaking out of the press that here was this man found dead because Harlan Braun calls the police. They go find that there is this SUV, there is this dead body. They get a search warrant, and they find all of this stuff, including they have now confirmed that there are so many garages with cars or SUVs in them, all under this Jeffrey Lash's name, that I ask Laura if this sort of confirmed for her that he was working in some bizarre way for the government agency, because who else would have all these garages in various parts of Western L.A. filled with SUVs, even a particular car that had been made to go underwater? And Laura Vadbunker said, quote, all of this either supports that he's a psychopath or that he is what he says he is. And she spoke in present tense. I don't find it weird that there are hybrids living on Earth. Do I think so? Why not? There's unidentified objects that they swear to God don't exist. And, well, we know that's a lie. Now, with that as a sort of down-to-earth context, we're going to continue now in the second part with more of my interview with Laura Vadbunker, who has been concerned since July 4th, really, and filing that missing persons report to this day, that a person that she and her husband adopted in March, trying to help give her a family and some protection, has basically cut the cord of communication outside of the letter that you're going to hear about. And now let's start again with Laura Vadbunker from Oxnard, California.
Well, there's a big part that I don't fully understand. You filed that missing person report for your daughter, Don Marie, on July 10th, and Catherine Nebron did not show back up into her California life until July 22nd. And when she did that, she ended up hiring the attorney Harlan Braun, who is well known in California. And if I'm understanding correctly, to this day, as you and I are speaking on August 11th, 2015, which would be a whole month later, you have not had any successful discovery by the police about where your daughter, Dawn Marie, is, and you have not heard from her.
I was called about 8 days into this, 4 o'clock in the morning from Oregon, saying they had located Dawn. She was safe.
Who discovered her?
The police department. There was an all-points bulletin for the car.
Near Bend, Oregon.
Right.
And so the police find your missing daughter and police call you, but Dawn has not talked to you since July 3rd.
Correct.
How do you explain that?
I can't. We got a letter from her, postmarked the 16th of July from Sacramento, and it was in the form of a letter with no return address. That's the only contact, something tangible that you could hold in your hand and go, wow, I get a letter.
That letter from Dawn Marie to Laura and David Vadbunker in Oxnard, California, was handwritten with pink ink on plain white paper. On the envelope where a return address would normally be were three words, love, hope, change. The letter begins, quote, "Dearest Mom and Dad, as I write this, I am sure you are both very hurt and confused. Please know I am safe and always will be. I am in need of time to heal myself so that I may better help this world. Our dear friend Bob has passed on from this world to work in heaven. He left with a great fight, and I know he is still working up in heaven with God to continue saving our beautiful world. I cannot help until I heal myself. I will be going to a place of healing where others like me will help me heal and be strong for whatever task I may be needed for. Do not hold anger. It will not help. No one but me has made this choice. It is what must be done. Someday I may return. I just do not know when. Just know I am doing all of this for the good of this world. I have one request of you both, to keep an eye on my dear Melody." That's her teenage daughter. "Please keep her safe and let her know I am not far. All she need do is believe and know I love her. We will always be together. I do not know at this point where Catherine may be. I am sure she is safe and doing what she needs to heal. Please let her do that. Any files of hers may be given to her lawyer, Stan Yates, in Ventura. Until I see you all again, I love you. I am here, and remember to be grateful to God for each and every second we have on this planet. Your daughter, DMV," and she drew a little heart under her name.
What does that mean? It made no sense.
And did you give this letter to the police?
I read it to the police department.
Did they come, like, looking for fingerprints or to trace further?
I haven't heard one thing from L.A. Police Department. Not one person's called. Not one person's come to get Catherine Nebron's files that are in the office here that Dawn shared with me. I haven't gotten one phone call from Braun, which I'm sure I would have got a gag order, but I didn't, only later to find out that he's putting out a press release saying that he was an alien hybrid.
That Braun has put out a press release quoting Catherine Nebron saying that Jeffrey Lash was a human ET hybrid.
Absolutely.
And you have tried repeatedly to call Catherine Nebron, who you met and talked with in the presence of your daughter, and Bob Smith, the human ET hybrid alleged, and that Catherine Nebron has not communicated with you in any way.
None whatsoever.
How do you understand that if she traveled to Oregon with your daughter?
You know, the only way I can put this together, she's certainly not working for Catherine Nebron at this point because she's not here to take care of the property. So either she's being stifled with money or given a lot of money or something. Catherine owns many properties.
And she could have given your daughter a lot of money just to stay in Oregon or wherever.
Right.
And the question is, why, if Catherine Nebron comes back to Los Angeles and hires the attorney, Harlan Braun, to represent her, and it is Catherine Nebron who reports that her fiancé is dead in that SUV from July 4th to when she returned somewhere around July 18th, and that the reason that she gave the police that she did not report his death on July 4th as his fiancé was because he was a human ET hybrid working for the Central Intelligence Agency, and she, the fiancé, expected that the CIA would come and remove his body.
Correct.
Now, did you ever get any understanding about how and why they think that Jeffrey Lash died in that SUV?
Yes. There was three people with her with no names. Her, Catherine Nebron, Dawn Marie Badbunker, and a chiropractor. It was a new chiropractor. I don't have his name, nor would I want to ruin his career. Because the poor man, that's the one they're talking about that had the medical knowledge. And he would not go to medical doctors. He only believed in naturopaths, so it would be healers and chiropractors is the only ones he would go to. And what happened was, I believe, from what was said, that he had a seizure and he got overheated. And they worked on him for 3 hours. He dies.
Did he die in the chiropractor's office?
He died in the SUV.
So were they working on him in the car?
In the car. He never went out of the car.
And so the chiropractor was there when he died?
I believe so.
That's Catherine Nebron, your daughter, Dawn Marie, and this chiropractor, who is currently unnamed,
right,
were in the SUV for 3 hours trying to save him.
Right.
And what was the description that you understood of what happened to him physically just before he died? What was happening to his body?
Depends on what story you believe. The poison one, right? The brain infection one? Or the cancer one? Who knows? I don't know what he had.
And there's been no coroner's report to date by August 11th, 2015.
Yeah, don't you find that really quite interesting, undetermined?
Yes, and I am assuming that there has been every effort to do DNA analysis to see for somebody if this guy was an ET human hybrid.
Well, I don't think the police would think of that, but I do think the government would think of that. So what happened when he died? My understanding is that Catherine drove him back home, left in the car. He was wrapped in a blanket and dry ice around him.
And it implies that Catherine Nebron was anticipating something about the need to preserve his body with dry ice.
Right.
Where is the source of the detail that his body was packed in dry ice?
That came from an undisclosed location from a police officer.
Okay. It came from a police officer.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm going to assume that that is real and adds to the implication of...
That's true, and it would be written down, yeah.
And Catherine Nebron was fully witting about trying to, one, keep him alive, two, when he died, to pack him in dry ice because she either had firsthand knowledge or assumed that the CIA that she has named would be coming to get his body that was human ET hybrid.
Absolutely, and this is what she has claimed all along, has never changed her story. She didn't tell the whole story at first, but when I started talking, she told the story. I'm not worried about men in black coming to my door to ask me to be quiet. I'm not going to be quiet. This happened to me. I was stuck right in the middle of it, and I lost a daughter. Why not just call the police and say he died? They work for the CIA. I don't know. Would they have gotten in trouble? Apparently, according to Braun, there is no law if you don't report a dead body.
And today, August 27th, or in before midnight, I called the reference library at the UCLA School of Law in Los Angeles and asked librarian Jenny Lentz if she could find any statute in California or Los Angeles County or city law that makes it a crime not to report a dead body, as Attorney Braun said. And here is her reply. We have looked and we cannot find a statute on the books at the state or local level that requires someone to report a dead body. There are requirements to not desecrate a dead body, but we couldn't find one requiring to report. So it appears that the attorney is correct. So it's a very interesting story, even legally, that this man could have been left in that SUV from July 4th until Catherine Nebrin got back, hired the attorney, and the police came around July 17th, and that he would have been in that car that whole time. And you would have thought that somebody walking past in the sidewalk might have noticed, but no one did. And now, as this is developing, it's constantly changing. When I interviewed her on August 11th, she had been told that it was a chiropractor who was working with them. Tonight in L.A., it was reported that it was Catherine Nebrin's ex-husband, the dentist, who was with them, and that he had records on Jeffrey Lash's teeth. That is how the coroner's office was able to confirm that it was Jeffrey Allen Lash from Los Angeles. But as of right now, the coroner's office in Los Angeles has still not confirmed the cause of death of Jeffrey Allen Lash, who died in that SUV in front of Catherine Nebrin's condo on July 4th, 2015.
Jeez. It's going on 2 months, and they can't figure it out yet, Linda.
Well, see, these are the, when you ask me about this story, nothing is straightforward. Nothing is, by now, the coroner's office should have been able to release some kind of a formal report, and as Laura laid out, there are three possibilities: poison and cancer and the neuropathy. And I do know that the UK, The Guardian, has reported that Jeffrey Lash's disease was the result of chemical weapons exposure on a CIA mission, and that that was Catherine Nebrin's statement to somebody officially. But the Los Angeles Police Department to this day insists that Lash had cancer. So you have poison and you have cancer, a brain infection, and some kind of terrible neuropathy disease. And then you jump over to all of the non-human investigations in the abduction syndromes over the last few years. And what has come up there off and on is this issue of non-humans having some sort of nerve disease, neuropathy disease that they're trying to cure. So you put all this together and you have one of the most difficult stories to follow, let alone report.
Gee, you know what? They're going to have to give people polygraph tests, Linda, just to keep track of this one. It is one strange story.
Keep your eyes on this, and I'll keep following up at earthfiles.com at my news website.
Well, we will, and I'm glad you took the ball and ran with this. Crop formations, think they've gone away? No, think again. That's Linda's story when we come back.